This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Welcome to a special edition of the Extra Bases podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas from orangebloods.com, and this is episode 32, but it's not just your typical Extra Bases podcast episode. Today, Friday, March 15th, marks 1 year since legendary college baseball coach Augie Garrido passed away at age 79. Obviously, for those Texas fans out there, Augie was a very, very big part of Texas baseball. Obviously, a gigantic part of college baseball history in general. I'd say he's the greatest college baseball coach there's ever been. You can make a strong case that nobody's going to surpass what he did when you look at the scope. Like, he won in all sorts of decades, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s, or whatever they're called now. That's incredible longevity, and that requires a special individual to be able to connect with players from all sorts of eras. Think when he was first coaching guys and winning at places like Cal State Fullerton, which was basically like he basically invented that college program for the most part. You know, we had no idea about smartphones or even cell phones in general, in, you know, cable television the way it is now, and in baseball the way it's played now, and all of these things. It's just incredible to look back at when he won early on in his career and when he won at the end of his career, and just how much had changed in life, in baseball, in the way people communicate, in the way people grow up, and all of these things and all these challenges. All these things changed, but Augie Garrido was a constant. He was the same guy through and through. Sure, he changed some over the years. He matured some. He grew older. He grew wiser. He conducted himself in a different way that was different, you know, in year 2014 than it was in year 1990 or something like that. But he was constant. He was Augie Garrido. He believed in what he believed him, in his principles and connecting with people. And that never wavered. That didn't change over those decades of a lot of success. So I figured it'd be a great opportunity to share some of my unique experiences covering Augie Garrido, especially since, you know, it's been 1 year since we lost him. Like many people, I miss Augie. When I started doing what I was doing at orangebloods.com as an intern in 2006, I began writing about the Texas baseball team. That's what got my foot in the door. Orangebloods had an intern tryout, if you will, and me and another guy made it and started covering the Texas baseball team. And I just kind of gradually grew my role from there. So Augie Garrido was the first coach I truly covered from a, you know, a hardcore beat perspective. You know, somebody that you're around during the season on almost a daily basis. Somebody that you learn the ins and outs of how they think, how they communicate, how they coach, how they act, you know, what kind of things they like, their personal life, all of these things. I mean, you really become immersed in a coach's life when you cover them on a daily beat perspective, like I did covering Augie Garrido from, you know, the 2006 season until his final season at Texas. From a journalistic perspective, I probably spent more time around Augie Garrido over those, you know, what, the last 8, 9, 10 years when he was at Texas coaching baseball than anyone. I mean, that's not a brag. It's just kind of the reality. I mean, I was locked in as a beat guy and still am for a long, long time and spent a long time around Augie Garrido. So I figured it was a great opportunity to kind of remember Augie and share some of my experiences with him and share why he was such a successful coach, such a legendary coach, such an interesting and fascinating person that so many people loved and adored. And we'll get into some of that as we get into this podcast, episode 32 of the Extra Bases podcast on theact.com. If you follow me on Twitter, at dmccomasob on Twitter, I actually bumped or tweeted out my story from a year ago about Augie Garrido when I tried to put into words just who he was as a coach, as a person, why he was successful, why he had such incredible longevity, why he was so beloved by teammates and why he was so fascinating. I tried to put all of that into words the day that he actually passed. And I remember, I'll never forget, I was in Nashville doing some of the pre-NCAA tournament stuff, covering the Longhorn basketball team. And that's when the news broke that he'd passed away. And I immediately started writing with a heavy heart. I mean, we are unbiased and we are reporters and journalists and we don't, you know, we stay away from the bias when it comes to these sorts of things. But when you spend that much time around a person for so much of a year, I mean, basically covering Augie Grieto was like, you know, one of the biggest parts of my life for what, 4, 5, 6 months out of the year. I mean, I interacted with him as much as I interacted with anybody. I mean, this was before I met my eventual wife and those things, but I was around him a lot. So you really get to know these people. And it's, you know, when somebody like that moves on with that kind of personality and the way he connects people, it hits you. It hit me like a big gut punch as I sat there in the press area at Nashville, just trying to put into words who Augie Grieto was, why he was successful and all those things. And you know, I'll never forget exactly where I was on that date. And my biggest fear in writing that story was I had to do something that would do him right, that would live up to the person he was, the figure he was, the success he had. So I hope if you haven't read it before, go to my Twitter page, check it out. It's actually a free story if you're not an Orange Bloods member. I bumped it on the orangebloods.com message boards as well. Please feel free to read it, give me some feedback, whatever. Hopefully it helps you remember a guy that was a big part of college baseball and Texas Longhorns baseball. And, you know, before the alumni game this year, Texas unveiled a bust of Augie Grieto outside the stadium. So he's forever immortalized now when you enter UFC Dishfog Field, which is very, very appropriate. So a couple stories about Augie, some of my favorite stories that I recall from covering him. I grew to learn quickly that if you asked Augie a good question, he was going to give you an honest answer. And he was always very in tune with the emotion of a baseball game or the momentum aspect or kind of the swings that happen between two teams battling, and also the cruelty of baseball and how it could be a cruel game and how you could play it the right game, play it the right way and not get the results. I mean, he used to always say, you know, batting average was just, you know, something that could weigh guys down. He would tell guys, just don't focus on your batting average. It's going to weigh you down because it can, you know, not be accurate at times. You could hit a ball hard right at a guy. He was really big on things like that, on the expectations aspect. He hated the word expectations. But the funny thing about Augie is he understood them at Texas better than any coach I've covered at Texas. Better than Mack Brown, better than Rick Barnes, better than Tom Herman, better than Shaka Smart. Any coach I've covered at Texas, Augie best understood the expectations of being the Texas baseball coach. But he hated the word. He hated the word because he hated any sort of word or saying or thing that could put added pressure on his players. He hated that. But deep down, he knew. He knew that he was brought to Texas to win, to revitalize the most storied baseball program in college athletics. And he did. And I think that's why the 2002 National Championship was such a big deal for him, because it was like almost like, here you go. I did it. I told you guys I was going to do it. This is what you wanted. I did it. Now the weight's kind of off my shoulders, and I can show you guys even more what I'm capable of doing. So he hated the word expectations, but he understood them better than anyone. And he really, really understood and connected with the energy in baseball and the cruelty and the highs and lows and the swings and the challenges and the life lessons and all those things that the game could provide. So if you asked him a good question about that from a point in the game, he would give you a good answer. And I'll never forget the 2014 Super Regional. Texas is playing at home at Houston. Actually, both of my favorite stories come from the 2014 season, but we'll start with that Houston Super Regional. And Texas is hosting a Super Regional. They had just won the Houston Regional at Rice. They look like a team that's heading towards Omaha. And there's a point early in that game, Nathan Thornhill's on the mound for Texas, who had a terrific season for Texas that year. And Houston, I believe, had the bases loaded or had a couple runners on base. And Thornhill induced some really weak contact. It looked like a really normal play down the first base, which I think would either gotten him out of the inning or basically really minimized the threat. Routine ball, and keep in mind, Texas plays on turf. Routine ball, and it takes this funny hop and hits the bag and kind of gets away. And, you know, immediately Houston capitalizes on that, and you're thinking, you know, oh man, Houston's about to open the floodgates here off this total fluke play. And that's the sort of thing that would make you think, man, maybe this just isn't Texas' day. You know, something that Augie Garrido would be like, oh, the baseball gods just didn't like us on that one. Oh no, you know, what's going on? So Texas eventually minimizes that threat. Thornhill does a great job. They go on to win the game. And after the games in the postseason, you go meet in this kind of special room. You know, after the regular season, we interview the players and coaches on the field. Well, after the postseason, there's like a designated media room with all the, you know, the TV cameras, and there's a podium set up with the microphones and the fancy name tags and all those things, and seats set up for the media. So you go in there and ask questions. Well, the cameras are rolling. And I asked Augie Garrido, I say, hey, what were you thinking when that ball took that hop and hit first base and Houston was about to open the floodgates? Like, what was going through your mind at that moment? And he looked at me and he leaned into the microphone and to address everybody there. He goes, oh, shit. It was just like, I couldn't help but laugh. Like, here he is just, you know, Augie was known to cuss a little bit, even with the media. But he told you exactly what he was feeling. He told you, you know, his human emotions during that time. He didn't hide from that. He didn't give you some, you know, bullshit answer about, oh, I was just, you know, I was waiting for Nathan Thornhill to bounce back and all those things, and, you know, or an unlucky break or something like that. He said exactly what was going through his head, which was, oh, shit. Like, this could be a massive inning that dooms this game because of this weird hop that hit the first base bag. And in reality, it should have been a routine play. And I just, that was such a great representation of Augie. You know, always in the moment, always telling you how he felt in any situation. You know, if he was happy, he'd show it. If he was mad, he'd show it and say it. If he was surprised, he'd say it. If he was, you know, fuming about something, he didn't hide from his emotions. And that was no better representation than that moment. After that game against Houston in the Super Regional, of course, Texas went on to sweep Houston in the Super Regional. They went on to the College World Series. Another story from that 2014 season. Again, you listen to the Extra Bases podcast on theyak.com. I'm Dustin McComas of OrangeBloods.com. We are remembering Augie Garrido on the one-year mark of his passing last year. The legendary coach passed away at age 79. I'm kind of going through some of my favorite stories of covering Augie. And there's a lot of them, but I've just got to limit it to a couple. And another one from that 2014 season. So even though I'd covered Augie a lot, I mean, you guys have probably seen the YouTube videos and things like that. He's kind of got this, like, even though you, like, he's nice to the media, he treated the media great, but you know, you just didn't quite know it when that YouTube moment was going to come out of Augie, even when you have been around him for what, this would have been my, I think, eighth or ninth year on the beat. So the 2014 season is ongoing, and Texas, heading into that year, there was some pressure on Augie to win. The 2012 and 2013 seasons following the College World Series weren't good. They had to make a coaching change with Tommy Harmon moving on, which was probably one of the toughest things that Augie Garrido ever did in his career. So there was some pressure on him to get this thing going back in the right direction again. There are a lot of whispers that people were wondering if, you know, if the game had passed him by, if he was going to be able to win at Texas again. So Texas had a good team coming back. They had a great mix of veteran leadership, pitching, hitting, defense. It was one of the better pitching staffs I had seen in my time covering Texas. And it was a group that had a lot of character, a lot of competitiveness. It was a classic Augie Garrido group. They pitched well, they played defense well, they got some timely hitting, and they had a lot of that competitive grit and leadership. So the season wasn't going like many expected it to. I remember that they had lost a series to TCU by a combined score of 8-1. TCU was really good that year. But they didn't play poorly in that series. I remember there was a game CJ Hinojosa had a chance to win the game. I think it was 2-1. He hit an absolute rocket up the middle that looked for sure like it was going to go into the right center gap to tie the game, or maybe it would have been win the game off of a really, really good TC reliever. And then the TC second baseman just jumps up and snags it and ends the game. I mean, those sorts of things were happening to Texas. They weren't playing poorly. They just weren't getting results. And then they had an unfortunate series against West Virginia, and the losses started to mount up. And you could tell Augie was feeling the pressure some, but also that he was just so frustrated because he knew this team was good. He knew that they were playing good baseball. They were having unfair results. So after one of the weekly media availabilities before the season began, he called me over after the media was done interviewing him, and I'm thinking my oh shit moment, like to be true to what was going on in my head. I'm thinking, oh shit, like did I write something that's going to piss him off? Like did I report something about his players he didn't like? What did I do? Because I'd never been like called over by a head coach before. I just hadn't. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that it took 8 years or 9 years for that to happen. But that was the first time, so I'm like immediately like a bunch of stuff's going through my head, like what did I do wrong? What did I screw up? What is he going to grill me about? And he kind of pulled me over to the side, and he's like, "Do you think we're a good baseball team?" And I was like, I had to kind of pause and gather myself because it was not what I was expecting. And I explained, "Yeah, I think you guys are good. You got a good mix of leadership. You got good pitching, defense. I think you've got the timely hitting. You've got a lot of the character you like. You guys just aren't getting results right now." And he kind of paused, for a little bit and kind of took it in. He basically said, this is one of the better compliments I've ever received in my professional career. He said, I really value your opinion and your view on the game. And he was like, I think you're right. I think we are good. And then he basically ended it with, you should keep writing that because you're going to look right. And I'm thinking, wow, okay. I mean, this guy's clearly confident in his team. And he also like respects the way I view it. So I did keep writing it. I think I wrote a column before that series. It might have been against Kansas State. That was basically like, Texas fans shouldn't give up on this team because they're much better than the results. And they get into the NCAA tournament as an at-large team that goes down to Houston to play in a loaded Houston regional at Rice, with Rice as the host, an at-large Texas A&M that was a good team, and then Texas. And sure enough, like Texas beats A&M that first game. Then they beat Rice. They lose to A&M the first time those two teams played. But because it's double elimination, Texas played A&M again the next day. And then, of course, Chad Hollingsworth, who had never done this in his life, he's handling the ball for this game. And he throws a complete game and punches Texas' ticket to the Super Regional. That was just such a classic example of an Augie Garrido team. Some player, seemingly not completely out of nowhere, but in a role that he's not used to, performs at a level that he's never done it before. He exceeds expectations, and somehow something about the way Augie Garrido and his staff managed that team in the chemistry that they created, somehow it just elevated this guy. And you can find examples of that throughout his entire Texas career. I mean, just go back to him letting Chance Wheelis hit in the College World Series with the bum shoulder. There's so many examples of that during Augie Garrido's time. And Chad Hollingsworth pitches a complete game. He's on fumes, but he gets the job done. And he's in that role because Dylan Peters needed Tommy John surgery, I think, right before the postseason began. Dylan Peters is already pitching the big leagues. Dylan Peters was their best starting pitcher on a staff that was loaded. I mean, it had Parker French, Nathan Thornhill, and Dylan Peters, and then it had John Curtis in the back end, and then Hollingsworth was their Tuesday guy. It was a really good pitching staff, and Peters was the leader of that group from, a talent and production standpoint. And then they lose him to Tommy John before the postseason, and it's like, okay, next man up. And then, boom, Chad Hollingsworth in the biggest game of his life, in one of the biggest games of Augie Garrido's Texas tenure, because it kept him going and got him back to the College World Series, he has that kind of performance. I mean, it was just a classic Augie deal, but I'll just never forget that conversation with him when he called me over. I think it's the only time he ever called me over, and I'm thinking in my head, oh no, what did I screw up? What did I do wrong? He's going to grill me for something. And it's basically like, yeah, you know what? I think we're good too. I think you're right. Keep writing it. And then he goes on to the College World Series, and they are a couple of bad breaks away from against Vanderbilt from playing in the championship series. That team could have won the national championship. And, you know, the ball that Hinojosa hit into the gap that the outfielder made an insane play on, and then Vanderbilt basically wins the game on a swinging bunt. I guess it just wasn't meant to be. And I'll never forget interviewing Augie in Omaha afterwards. And again, he always wore his emotions on his sleeve. He was crushed. He basically admitted, like, you know what? I'm gonna go in my hotel room. I'm gonna cry. I'm gonna try to process this thing, and then, you know, I'm gonna try to move on. But it's going to hurt. And he was visibly hurt, and he never hid from those sorts of things. It's one of the things that made him so unique and so successful, is that he was in tune with his emotions in the moment, and he wasn't afraid to tell us what he was feeling. And he also wasn't afraid to just be human. You know, he's as competitive as it got. He wanted to win. And yeah, he liked his nice hotels and living, you know, the high life and things like that. But he didn't ever pretend to be just this complete genius that was smarter than everybody else when it came to baseball. You know, everybody would always talk about the legendary offensive timeouts that Augie would have. I remember there were times during the 2011 season when myself, Trey Scott, who's now 24/7 Sports and was covering Texas back then for the Daily Texan, and then Cedric Golden, a longtime Austin American statesman columnist and former Texas baseball beat writer, the offensive timeouts would happen, and you'd see somebody in the press box just kind of start shaking like a, you know, an imaginary Zen dust into their hand, like, oh, here comes some of the Augie Zen again. But the reality about a lot of those conversations is the sole purpose was just to relax people, to just get their mind off the situation. You know, there was a huge at bat for Trace Barrera in the 2015 Big 12 tournament. Texas had to win the Big 12 tournament to get into the postseason. And Barrera's up in a huge moment in the Big 12 tournament, and Augie calls calls him over. And you can see Barrera after the meeting going back to the box with this gigantic grin on his face. And after the game, you know, eventually Augie was asked about that meeting. He said, or Barrera, one of the two, was asked about it and basically said, oh, he just told me a joke in Spanish. That's it. Like, Augie didn't pretend to be like, you know, oh yeah, I want you to tell, like, you're going to look first pitch slider here or this or that, or you're going to hit it over the right way or whatever. No, it was about connecting with the person. It was about controlling the emotions of the game. It was about allowing that person to be at their best in the toughest moments. And he was so good at that. He was so amazingly good at connecting with young men. I mean, he really treated baseball as more than a game. He treated it as a game that can teach people life lessons about how to compete, about the value of teamwork and friendship and fighting for one another, and, you know, just being a tough-minded individual and staying in the moment and just playing things pitch by pitch and inning by inning. You know, baseball was a game, but to him it was also life. You know, go look at the legendary YouTube video. What's he screaming after they lost and they had an awful game? You know, this is my life. He's screaming as he's pounding the table. I mean, baseball was life to Augie Garrido. And he was so good at generating success on the field, but also at the same time teaching young men how to be better people when they left the University of Texas. And whatever they did professionally, whether it was going on to play Major League Baseball, whether it was going on to be in real estate, whether it was going on to be, you know, in the financial sector, whatever it was, he wanted those young men to learn through baseball life lessons that were going to make them better people once they moved on from the University of Texas. And I think he did a terrific job of that, a truly sensational job. And he could get an entire clubhouse believing and moving in the right direction, I think, better than any college baseball coach. And it's one of the reasons why when his teams went to Omaha, they played so well. They played freely. They didn't feel the pressure on their shoulders. You know, sometimes teams would go in that environment and would eat them up. But Augie's teams always seemed to elevate themselves. You know, think back to that College World Series in 2009 when they're down huge to Arizona State Mike Leake, a future first-round pick who's still pitching in the big leagues, is on the mound. And at one point, the camera catches Augie in the dugout after something good happens for his team at the plate, and he's turned his hat sideways, like crooked on his head, and he's kind of just doing this goofy face and dance as to just loosen his team up and say, hey, you know, this is fun. Have fun. Stop feeling the pressure of this moment and just go out and play. And sure enough, Texas has an amazing comeback in that game and wins that game and nearly wins the College World Series. They come up just short in a three-game series against eventual winner LSU. And he was just so good about relieving the pressure of the moments for players and allowing them to play at their best in the game's most important moments. But really, just getting back to who he was as a person, he was human. He was flawed. He didn't pretend that he was different than you and I. He reached true, like, legendary status, but just remained human, and he just embraced who he was. Like I said earlier, like, if he was hurt, he'd show it. If he was excited, he'd show it. If he was happy, he'd show it. If he was mad, he wouldn't hide it. But all along the way, like, through all of these years that he coached college baseball and won at the highest level, he never really changed his approach and his values and just connecting with people, bringing out the best in people, developing, you know, the total team aspect. So much of his bunting caught a lot of attention forever. You know, the sacrifice bunt. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's just his offensive philosophy. Well, part of that's true, but the main reason Augie Rito bunted all the time is because he wanted to hammer home the point to the rest of his team, the idea of sacrificing for the team, the idea of giving yourself up for the betterment of the team, and to the idea of giving yourself up for a teammate, building that total team aspect. That's the main reason why Texas bunted all the time, the idea of sacrificing oneself for the betterment of the team, to build that team mentality. So you've got all of these guys that are pulling for each other. That's why the nine-hole hitter could bunt or the cleanup hitter could bunt in certain situations. It was to build that total team aspect of what was going on and how Texas could win games or how anybody could win games. I mean, that was, you know, something that Augie Rito really, really, really believed in, was developing that total team aspect and its importance in winning baseball games. He believed that that was paramount. If you get a group that plays together and competes together as a team and is willing to sacrifice for each other, then you can have a winning baseball team as that talent starts to show in those most important situations. And of course, there's the interesting and fascinating aspect of Augie as well. I mean, just it seems like every single time you'd talk to him in a media setting, you'd leave like with some sort of wisdom, a laugh, a life lesson, like baseball knowledge. Like, he'd throw pop culture things into there. He'd throw professional sports things into there. Like, Kobe Bryant did this or some football player did that. Some song or some saying. And you know, it just every conversation just delivered something interesting every single time. It could have been after a midweek game when they beat somebody 28-0. It could have been in just a random fall conversation after a workout or an alumni game or something like that. He was just such a fascinating individual because his mind, the way he thought and the way he was able to take so many things and parallel them to baseball or to his players. I know he was huge in the cooking. I mean, he had his cooking show on Longhorn Network. He was big into cooking. He really liked going around and learning from chefs and things like that. And from what I heard, like, when he would get nervous, believe it or not, he would get nervous before big games and stuff like that. He would always like stay up and cook a lot. Like, apparently that was a sign of when, you know, it's a big game and he was kind of an uncertain about what was going to happen going on. So just a fascinating individual. So interesting. I feel like every conversation you had with the guy, you came away with either learning something or laughing or just something that you were going to remember each time you talk to the guy. And he's just such a truly unique individual. But again, I can't say enough. He was just true to who he was. He was Augie Rito. You know, he didn't hide from his background. He didn't hide from his flaws. He didn't hide from his emotions. And I think that that's what I'll remember most about him. And I think that's the main reason why he was so successful in connecting with decades of different types of personalities and players because he stayed the same. He stayed consistent. He had his values. He had his beliefs. He had his you know, pillars of how he wanted to build a program, and they remained consistent. And it all centered around being able to connect with people, bringing out the best of people, teaching them life lessons, getting a team to play together as one. And he did that by setting an example of, this is me, these are my emotions, this is how I feel, this is who I am. I'm a human like you, I'm flawed, we play a flawed game, but this is the way we're going to have success now on the diamond. And then once your playing days are over, how you're going to have success as a family man, as a business person, or whatever you go in. So that'll be what I remember most about Augie Garrido. Sure, the funny sayings and everything like that, and all the wins and covering the good teams, but he was just real. He was just a human being, and he didn't hide from that. And he really just, I truly admire how he was able to connect with so many different eras of players and people over the years and just remain the most successful coach in college baseball. He adapted over the years to the game and people and everything like that. But at the same time, while he adapted, he didn't change who he was. He didn't change what he believed in. He didn't change how he set out to just find a way to connect with people. And, you know, again, that's what I'll remember the most about Augie Garrido. So with that, we will wrap up this special edition of the Extra Bases Podcast on theyak.com, episode 32 in the books. I'm Dustin McComas of orangebloods.com. We lost Augie Garrido a year ago today, so I hope that this podcast helps remember him. I hope I've shared some unique experiences that give you guys and gals, an inside look into the person Augie Garrido was, worth, you know, professionally and just as a human being, why he was so successful, and then some of my favorite stories from what it was like to cover Augie Garrido. So thank you for listening. I do appreciate you continuing to tune in to the Extra Bases Podcast on theyak.com and all of our great content at theyak.com. So until next time, enjoy your weekend, watch some baseball, and take care.